Wednesday, January 28th, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you, you know, the sports stories that you care about, but we're going to give you just a little bit different of an outlook. Hopefully, we can make you smile a little bit, and hopefully, we can give you a little bit of a different perspective than what you get anywhere else. The great thing about the podcast is that you can listen to it when it's convenient to you. Listen to it at your leisure. There's a few different places that you can download it. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Podomatic. You can go to thepodcastdirectory.com. We're getting more and more places all the time that are beginning to pick up the Daily Dose, which is really, really exciting. Would like to say to you listeners that are out there, our numbers are going up. I've told you that. And I really do want to thank each and every one of you. I appreciate it. If you know a sports fan, if you know someone that you think might enjoy it, you got to share it with them, because the bigger we get, the better this is going to be. Hey, got a lot of things to talk about this week. Number of things we're going to get to, and I have some huge, huge breaking news for you that you don't want to miss. First off, if you want to contact me, you can always find me on Twitter at DailyDose22. That is D-A-L-Y, DailyDose22. You know, I'll live tweet some of the big games, some of the bigger events. I'll usually have some thoughts on some of those things. If you're on Facebook and you want to get me there, cd.daily.dose. You can find me on Facebook as well. You know, hey, you want me to sponsor something? You want me to come speak for you? You want to just contact me and give me some feedback on the show? I would greatly appreciate it. Feel free to reach out. Got a lot of things going on this week. Got a Super Bowl preview that you're not going to want to miss. Get you ready for that Super Bowl preview. Plus, we've got some NBA. We've got some college basketball. And as usual, we've got the Daily Dose Top 5. And like I said, I do have something very special for you this week, a Daily Dose exclusive that you do not want to miss. Are you ready for the Super Bowl? Super Bowl is Sunday. It is the biggest party day of the year. The Super Bowl day has kind of become, these days, it's kind of like Thanksgiving. It's gluttony and it's football. And it's just, it's very, very American of us. I mean, you kind of even approach the day similar to the way you do Thanksgiving. You get up, you kind of eat light, you kind of wear those loose pants, you kind of stretch a little bit because you know you need to save room and you need to get ready, because all you're going to do is watch football and eat all day long. The only difference with the Super Bowl as opposed to Thanksgiving is you don't actually have to, you know, spend the day with annoying relatives. Typically, you get to spend it with friends and people that you want to hang out with. You know, it's interesting. There are usually, and you're going to see these on Sunday, there's usually five people at Super Bowl parties. And I'm going to give them to you real quick. There are five people, and you'll pick them out on Sunday. When you go to your Super Bowl party or you're hosting your Super Bowl party, you will see these five people. You're going to see the intense fan of one of these teams. One of the people there is going to be intense. They're pacing, and they keep mumbling things to themselves like, oh, this is our year. We're going to get this done. We got to do this. You're going to see the commercial watcher. The commercial watcher is gone out of the room that you're viewing the game during the game. They come running back in just for the commercials. And you can usually tell this person because they say things like, who's playing? The weird thing about the commercial watcher is that they know the halftime show before it ever happens. They're like, well, Katy Perry's scheduled to come on at 4:21 Mountain Standard Time, and then I believe Lenny Kravitz will join her at approximately 4:27. How do you know that and you don't even know who's playing? The other person you're going to get, you will get the reluctant significant other. So your friend shows up and brings the girlfriend or brings the boyfriend or whatever it is, and that person doesn't know anyone there. They don't want to be there, and they spend most of the day sitting at the edge of the room and looking at their watch. Added bonus for this person is if they're vegan. That makes it even better, because then the whole time they won't eat either. They literally are counting the seconds until they get to live. The next person, you get the eater, the person that could care less about the game. In fact, they don't even come in to watch the game. Commercials, game, last 2 seconds of a close game, it makes no difference. They stay in the kitchen and they eat the entire time. And then the last person you have is the gambler. And the gambler might be the worst of the bunch, because the gambler at these games, they're just sweating, and it doesn't matter which way the game goes, they're never happy, because even if it's a close game at the end, they're like, oh, come on. No, don't kick a field goal. I need a touchdown here. What are you doing? I can't. And so you're going to get those five people at your party. Now, this year, it's a little bit different because I don't particularly like either one of these teams. So it's kind of hard for me because I don't care for the Patriots. I don't really like what they're about. I don't like the Seahawks. I don't care. It's kind of tough for me. You know, we will have that Super Bowl preview coming up, but Super Bowl Sunday, it's kind of turned into Thanksgiving. The other thing about it that resembles Thanksgiving to me is the fact that when it's over, when Thanksgiving is over, you're like, oh no, we got Christmas and the holiday and the shopping and all that stuff. And when the Super Bowl's over, we go, oh no, there's no more football. So it's kind of tough. It's very, very similar with the end of football season coming on Sunday afternoon. Going to be tough. A couple things breaking news-wise we want to get to you, and then I'm going to give you a Daily Dose exclusive that we have not had before, but it's a big one. Media day today. Tom Brady has a cold. Tom Brady had a cold, and they talked about it, you know, of course, at length. It's always interesting to me because anything the media can get, they will run with. And Tom Brady has a cold. He had to wear his Uggs and fight through that. Marshawn Lynch, it's a possibility that he's going to get fined for a hat that he wore. So that's kind of interesting. Bulls beat the Warriors last night. You know, Derrick Rose, at times, he can step up and the Bulls can play very well. We're going to talk about, you know, some of the NFL or the NBA news that's coming out and a couple of different stories I want you to keep an eye on. Right now, though, I have to get you to some big news that we have. We have an interview that I'm going to play for you. We were fortunate enough to get Marshawn Lynch, the running back of the Seattle Seahawks, to join us on the Daily Dose. And I really, it means a lot that he would come on the show. It means a ton that he would join us because, you know, Marshawn Lynch, he's not a talkative guy. He's not a guy that likes to do a lot of interviews. He's not that kind of guy. But Marshawn Lynch was fortunate. We were fortunate enough to get him on the Daily Dose, and I'm going to play that interview for you courtesy of ESPN. And I got to give a shout out to John out in California and the Inland Empire for setting up the interview with Marshawn Lynch. Check it out and see what you think. Here is the interview, Daily Dose with Marshawn Lynch. We are fortunate enough right now to be joined by Seattle Seahawks running back, getting ready to go into Super Bowl 49, Marshawn Lynch. Marshawn, thank you so much for joining us here today at the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. I know you don't do many interviews, so thanks for being with us. I really, really do appreciate it.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Marshawn, the Super Bowl is on Sunday versus the New England Patriots. It is your second time around this time, obviously having gone there last year. Do you feel like you're more prepared this year? Do you feel like you have a better handle on everything? You've got to deal with the interviews. You've got to deal with all the hoopla that goes with it. Do you feel like you're more prepared this year?
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Marshawn, much has been made about the New England Patriots possibly breaking the rules, got the situation with the deflating of the footballs. Do you think that the Patriots are cheating? Do you think that they're trying to get over on the league here?
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Hey, I got you. I understand completely. And Marshawn, I don't want to put words in your mouth. That's not what I want to do. But if you agree that you do think they cheat, just say something about only being here so you won't get fined.
I'm here so I won't get fined.
I got you, Marshawn. I read you. I understand completely. Hey, since you're opening up, since you're giving us a little bit more than, you know, you usually give other people and giving us some answers here, just between you and me, just kind of between us, Richard Sherman, does he take himself a little too seriously? Is he kind of a blowhard?
I'm here so I won't get fined.
I couldn't agree more. Hey, a lot of talk this year, you know, about off the field stories in the NFL. Obviously, Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, the deflation thing with the Patriots. Even, you know, stories like with you, you know, maybe not talking to the media. Do you feel like right now, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, it seems like he's just kind of making it up as he goes. Do you feel like Goodell is a little bit inept to do this job?
I'm here so I won't get fined.
Marshawn, I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Hey, best of luck to you in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Stay healthy, my friend, and maybe we'll get to meet on down the road. Thank you very much.
I'm just here so I won't get fined.
That was Seattle Seahawks running back Marshawn Lynch joining us from Glendale, Arizona, as he gets ready for Super Bowl 49 versus the New England Patriots on Sunday. You know, it's funny. Marshawn doesn't like talking to the media much, but he was gracious enough to join us here on the Daily Dose. I appreciate that very much. You know, it was crazy because he's not a real open guy, but, you know, he got a little bit emotional. I got a little emotional. You know, it was a great time. Just want to say thanks to Marshawn and thanks to John in California for setting that up. Speaking of the NFL, NFL looks like they are going to play three more games in London next year. All three will start at 7:30 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, so we can just have football all day long. You know, say what you will about the NFL, and sometimes during the weeks, we talk about this off-field stuff. We talk about the Ray Rice. We talk about Adrian Peterson, the concussions, the performance-enhancing drugs, whatever it might be. But come Sunday, we just want our football. And we don't care about any of that other stuff. And now they are going to have three more London games so that we can have football from 7:30 a.m. until basically 9:30 p.m. on Sunday night. You can have all that stuff off the field, but when it comes time for football, we just want our football. Breaking out of Cleveland this week, Josh Gordon was going to play for the Browns until he got high. He was going to get up and take the league down. But then he got high. Now his career is messed up. And you want to know why? Because he got high. Because he got high. Because he got high. Josh Gordon, again, this time failed an alcohol test. Kind of like Matt Prater. Situation with the kicker that was formerly here in Denver. Matt Prater and Josh Gordon. You get these, you know, these drug things, and then you're on probation. And so it doesn't matter if they find anything in your system. Josh Gordon actually found with alcohol in his system, but he had been on probation from the year before. This is a kid that, seriously, it's almost one of those things where I don't even want to joke about it. This is a kid that needs help. He was on probation, and what I worry about with a kid like Gordon, I worry that he is going to end up like somebody like Justin Blackmon with the Jaguars, where he gets suspended, and we just never hear from him again. Is Blackmon ever going to come back to the Jaguars? I don't even hear from that guy anymore. And it does. It makes me concerned because Josh Gordon, seriously, dude has a problem. We might want to get into rehab, do something because right now, I mean, just the beginning of this year, don't forget, he was supposed to be out this entire season. He was supposed to be out the full year, and now they let him come back. We had the situation, you know, with the players' contract and all that stuff. Comes back and already got popped. NFL is looking at making some changes to the game itself. And you saw in the Pro Bowl, the narrow goalposts, they would like to make the extra points and the field goals a little bit more of an interesting play. Because right now, especially the extra point, let's face it, we all get up and go to the bathroom or get another drink when it's time for the extra point. No one watches it. NFL wants to make that a little more interesting. It's going to be interesting to see if they can get away with getting those goalposts narrow, or do they back it up, or do they make it just a little bit difficult? Because the kickers have gotten so much better. The kickers have gotten so good at it. And so, did you watch the Pro Bowl? I guess they narrowed it at the Pro Bowl. I'll be honest. I didn't watch the Pro Bowl, and I don't want to watch the Pro Bowl. I told you how to fix the Pro Bowl last week, and they didn't listen to me. Hey, football is coming to Los Angeles, I believe. I believe that is coming sooner rather than later, too. We talked about this back on the Daily Dose, but, you know, Stan Kroenke, St. Louis Rams owner, does have some property out in L.A., and he has a team in St. Louis that the fans in St. Louis really, honestly, could care less about that team. They really don't care. They don't support much. They're having a tough time giving those tickets away. And what I see coming for Los Angeles is Kroenke's going to move the Rams back there. And then I think they're going to get one other team, and they're going to share a stadium and do what the Giants and Jets do back in New York. You're always going to have one team playing each week. The question is, who's going to be that other team? The Rams have a little bit of history, obviously, back in Los Angeles. Who's that other team going to be? San Diego Chargers, they've got some issues with, you know, with their stadium. They're looking for, you know, some sort of new deal. What about the Oakland Raiders going back to L.A.? Could the Raiders head back down and go to Los Angeles, and it would be the Raiders and the Rams? I don't know, but I do believe something is going to happen probably within the next 3 years, and we're going to see football back in Los Angeles. Is that a good fit? I know, speaking to people in Los Angeles, they don't particularly want it. I do think if they could get a decent product in a decent stadium, I do think it would. They would support it. They go out and they watch USC football, don't they? I mean, wouldn't they go out and support it? You would think that they would. I'll tell you one thing that the NFL is going to do. They're going to expand the NFL playoffs. Expect that to come out very, very soon, where you have maybe one team added to the NFL playoffs, maybe like an additional wild card team added to the playoffs, because they are seeing, hey, like I said before, we love our football. We want more and more of it, and we can't get enough of it. You could add just one team on each side and basically have an additional weekend of football. You wouldn't have to do much to do that. Maybe you give the top two teams a bye, and everyone else plays their way off, and that first wild card weekend would make for very interesting storylines. If you would have had that this year, you would have had Philadelphia getting in on the NFC side, and you would have actually had the Houston Texans get in on the AFC side. Would have been interesting. I don't know if that would have been good or not. Would have been interesting. Hey, here at home with the Denver Broncos, obviously, they've gotten Gary Kubiak as their new head coach. He will take over for John Fox. Broncos are trying to get a defensive coordinator, and they're having a tough time doing it. They can't get anyone just yet that they want. You know, they want Vance Joseph, the defensive, I believe he's the defensive backs coach back at Cincinnati. The problem is Cincinnati doesn't want to let him out of his contract to come over. And so right now they're kind of butting heads and saying, hey, we want him to come over. And Cincinnati's saying, no, we're not going to let him out of his deal. If they don't get Vance Joseph, I fully expect the Broncos, I can't believe I'm saying this, to go get former defensive coordinator back in the day, Wade Phillips. Phillips is a decent coordinator. I'll give him that. His defenses were always pretty good. It's starting to feel here in Denver like when the Broncos went out in the playoff round against the Colts, that John Elway just said, you know what? I'm just going to go get a bunch of my buddies, and we're going to run this thing right, and it's just going to kind of be the good old boys network. I'm not sure if I'm down with the Wade Phillips thing, but if they don't get Vance Joseph, I fully expect them to go in that direction. Let's talk a little bit of NBA basketball. NBA, All-Star Weekend is going to be February 13th through the 15th in New York City. And we've announced the starters now for each team. We at least have the starters. They're still going to break down, you know, a few more of the roster spots, and then the coaches get to pick a few players. But I want to talk a little bit about some of the players that are going to be in All-Star Weekend, and the starters at least for either side. On the East side, they have Pau Gasol playing back in Chicago. Gasol has great stats. There are times when I look at him and I say, you only have stats. But Pau Gasol gets on. I get it. LeBron gets on. LeBron has been hurt. He's been out some games, but LeBron gets on, and I understand it, I guess. You know, still one of the best players in the league. There's no question about that. But there, has he had the best start to the season? I don't know. I guess he's putting up stats. Carmelo. Team has eight wins more than I do. I guess. Carmelo, he's not even as good in stats as he has been past year. I guess you just put him on because you recognize the name. I don't know. We might have to rethink this all-star voting thing. John Wall has had a tremendous season so far, and John Wall has a very, very solid team in Washington, and then Kyle Lowry with the Toronto Raptors. Like I said, LeBron has the stats, but his team has not been very good. Carmelo, I don't get Carmelo. I mean, his team's not winning. His stats are down. His team is tied right there, right around the worst, you know, league record. I don't get it with Carmelo. I don't understand it. But Carmelo's in. Let's look at the West. On the Western side, Marc Gasol. And Marc Gasol playing with Memphis. Memphis is a team that if you were looking for someone that could cause some problems for San Antonio later in the season and as we get into the playoff run, that team in Memphis is a team that could pose problems for San Antonio. Anthony Davis with the Pelicans, and I know New Orleans doesn't have the record that you would hope for a guy who's a starter. But I'll say this about Anthony Davis. Dude puts up video game numbers every single night. There are nights that Anthony Davis looks like the best, most complete player in the league. Blake Griffin, guy whose stats have kind of taken a step back, but the Clippers seem like they're kind of getting their game together, and they are playing well right now. Kobe Bryant is one of the starters. Steph Curry, who right now Steph Curry would be one of the MVP candidates for the league. Wait, Kobe Bryant is in? Kobe Bryant is a starter? if you're going to vote in Kobe Bryant, just vote in Magic or Kareem or somebody, because it's clearly only based on what he's done in the past. How does James Harden not get that vote? Kobe Bryant has no business being on the team. Can I make this recommendation? And this might be kind of out there, but in order to play for the All-Star team, shouldn't you have to play in at least like 30% of the games so far? I mean, Kobe sits out, what, every third night or something? I'm not sure I'm down with Kobe being in this. And while we're on the subject of Kobe, we need to discuss something. Kobe Bryant is killing the Los Angeles Lakers right now. He's killing them. First off, you have where he signed that max deal. You have the two-year, $48 million deal that he signed. And as paying him from being able to go sign anyone else. They have money tied up in Nash. I believe they're still paying Pau Gasol some money somehow. They have a lot of money tied up. But that two-year, $48 million, that just totally kills anything they want to do contract-wise. And so what they're doing is they're basically trying to play with two or three players. I guess so, and I'll hear some of that. But if Kobe deserves it, then you also have to deal with the ramifications of it, which is you have no players, and your team is horrible. So Kobe signs the max deal, and now you've got 12 wins so far this year. And Kobe is not playing well. 22 points a game, okay. But he's taking 20 shots a night to get them. And now we have this mentality where, and we talked about this a little bit last week, where we talked about, well, hey, if Kobe takes the rest of the year off, which he's going to do, he's going to have the rotator cuff surgery now, has the torn rotator cuff, he's going to take the rest of the year off. Maybe next year he comes back, they can have a little more money freed up, they can go get another rookie, Julius Randle comes back, maybe they can get, you know, another free agent, and then Kobe could come back, like we said before. At age 37, 38 years old, he's not going to come back better. He's going to come back and have these same things. Let's think about the past three seasons for Kobe Bryant. The past three seasons. He had the knee, he had the Achilles, and now he has a torn rotator cuff. The problem with that torn rotator cuff and the Achilles, these aren't symptoms of, well, it's just a basketball injury. No, these are injuries from old age. These are injuries where you have played and put so many miles on that body that eventually, yes, it's going to break down on you, and that's what we're seeing. Now, you can sit here and say, okay, well, now he's out for the season and whatever. He's still killing the Lakers right now. Because I want you to keep one thing in mind. It sounds kind of strange, but he's still killing Lakers right now. Because right now, the Lakers are better off when Kobe's not in the lineup. They get better ball movement. They have better shot selection. There's not this vacuum on one side of the court where the ball goes there and then you know the shot's going up. They move the ball so much better and they get so much better shots. They're actually better with him not in the lineup. And so what happens now? They're going to win some more games. And they might kill the draft pick that they were hoping to get based on losing all these games. Right now they're sitting at 12-34. Without him in the lineup, they may win 20-25 games. If he was still in the lineup, they might not win 20 all year. So it's actually going to hurt them again with him being out of the lineup. Just a bizarre, bizarre situation out in Los Angeles with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant right now just kind of looks like Michael Jordan when he tried to come back and play with the Wizards. You can see your best days are behind you. Just hang it. I'm never going to hold it against the player for staying on. It's your body. It's your legacy. Whatever. But you do. There's part of you that just says, just maybe it's time. Maybe it's time just to hang it up. I don't know. It might be time to hang it up. Moving forward. Speaking of the All-Star game, let me give you a team that may not get an All-Star name to it. That is the 37-8. Eastern Conference leader Atlanta Hawks. And the Atlanta Hawks, you know, they're going on these tears of like 8 or 9 game win streaks consistently. And right now they've won 16 in a row. And you might sit there and you might say, no. They're getting over on soft teams. It's a long year. They're going to be like Peyton Manning, great in the regular season. But when it gets to the postseason, they're going to collapse and we're going to see them go down. They won't be this good. I want to just give you a little bit of hesitation with that because I want you to think of a couple things. First off, remember last year? They just barely made the playoffs as an 8 seed. And then they took the number one Indiana Pacers to 7 games. Say, okay, but who cares? Who cares? It's just the Pacers. Who cares? Remember that Atlanta did this without Al Horford. Al Horford, one of their best players, wasn't in the lineup. Now with Horford back, this team is leading the league in points allowed, 96 points a game. And it isn't that they can't score. You don't sit there and say, okay, yeah, they get 96 points a game, but they can't score any. No, they're actually sixth in scoring, scoring 103 points a game. And the key for me with this Atlanta Hawks team is how balanced they are. Because it's not like you can just stop one player or two players. And the number for me, I know that when we were coaching, the number for me was always, if you can get three players, that makes it really, really tough. If you have kind of that three-headed monster, it makes it really, really tough because I don't know who to shut down. I don't know when the game's on the line who you're going to go to. And when you look at the balance that this Atlanta Hawks team has, Jeff Teague, 17 points a game. Paul Millsap, 17 points a game. Al Horford, 15 points a game. Ashton Kutcher, Kyle Korver, 13 points a game. DeMar Carroll, 12 points a game. They're so balanced. Who do you stop? Who do you key on? I know as we go through this NBA season, especially in the Eastern Conference, we just keep saying, I know. But Chicago's more talented. Cleveland is more talented. They have more talent. Don't sleep on this team. And I want you to think about this. Atlanta has faced Chicago twice this year, at home and on the road, and beat them twice. I know it's kind of weird to think about, but the Atlanta Hawks are going to be very, very tough to beat in the East. And I hate to bring this up, but speaking of the Cleveland Cavaliers, Cavs are about to go on a tear. Cavaliers are about to go on a tear, and I just want to give you a heads up before it gets there so you know that it's coming, because it is coming. LeBron had that time off with whatever was wrong with him. Sprained hairline or whatever that was. LeBron is back, and it looks like he's playing a little bit better. He's got a little more bounce in his step. Iman Shumpert, he is back, and Shumpert can bring you some defense. He can bring you some transition points. Very athletic kid. Mozgov gives them at least a presence inside that they don't have otherwise. And so far, it's early. But so far, J.R. Smith hasn't lost his mind and jacked up 30 shots in a single game yet. Cavaliers have won 7 in a row. But here's the thing that I want you to think about. And then you can say later, okay, I knew this was coming. Here is their schedule coming up. Home against Portland. That'll be a tough one. Home against Sacramento. At Minnesota. Home against Philly. Home against the Clippers. At Indy. Home against the Lakers. Home against Miami. They're probably going to win 6, 7, maybe even 8 of their next 8. And what's going to happen when you hear those wins, when you see all this, knew this team was going to be great. We picked this team to come out of the East. Slow down. They have a nice schedule. LeBron is fresh right now, getting ready to go to the All-Star break here in just a couple weeks. But this team still has some major, major flaws. And the biggest flaw that this team has, they've got some positional issues. They can't guard anyone. They can't stop anyone. That's where a team like I said with Atlanta impresses me a little bit, because they can stop people. This team can't guard anyone. Who are you going to defend with? Kevin Love? That's not going to happen. And how happy was Golden State this weekend with the 52 points that Klay Thompson put up and the 37 he put up in a single quarter, that they didn't make that trade, Klay Thompson for Kevin Love? Can you imagine that? If you didn't see Klay Thompson's shooting display that he put on against Sacramento, I believe that was Friday night, you need to watch it, because it was a heat check game. And if you don't know what a heat check in hoops is, he basically went out and said, okay, I've knocked a few down. I'm just going to chuck a few of these, and let's just see if they go in. And they kept going in. I just want to see how hot I am. I'm going to put up another one. Bap, yep, got that one too. Heat check game, and everything was clicking for Klay Thompson. Golden State looks like they will be a pain in the West, but that Western Conference is so tight. The great thing about the Western Conference is that every single night, typically, you can turn on the TV and see at least a decent game, because there's just it's all good teams from 1 to about 10. with OKC kind of on the edge. I can't quite decide about the Thunder. But from 1 to about 10, you've got great basketball being played and some really, really good teams. And you could see, I mean, San Antonio sitting at 7. Speaking of teams that are getting ready to go on a tear, San Antonio is getting ready to start playing a very friendly stretch of games where they get to play at home for a good stretch. Start seeing San Antonio creep their way back up. They probably will. Let's move on just briefly to college basketball. We talked about this a little bit last week. Coach Mike Krzyzewski won his 1,000th game on Sunday over St. John's in kind of a weird one of those weird out-of-conference games that sometimes, you know, that he schedules for Duke. You got to put Coach K in with one of the greatest of all time, don't you? I mean, if you were going to go Mount Rushmore with college basketball coaches, he's got to be at least in the top 5-6, doesn't he? He might be one or two. For me, it's got to be Dean Smith, John Wooden. I hate to say this, maybe Bobby Knight, and then Coach K. The funny thing about Coach K that people kind of forget about is because he kind of comes off to the media, at least, as this mild-mannered guy. I have seen Coach K at like coaching clinics and things that I attended where he has been there, and let me tell you, dude is brutal to his players. He will get after his players. Not quite the mild-mannered, older grandfatherly figure that we've started to think of when we think of Coach K. Now he's just, now, you know, yeah, we know Duke just played well and we did a good job today and we just got to keep getting better. That's not how he is. In practices, at least. I mean, he can get pretty vicious when it comes to practice time. But hey, Coach K, he's got to be in there among the best ever. Let's get to, and we're going to actually bring up a little bit more about Duke here later in the show. But let's get to our Super Bowl 49. You know, we're going to get you ready. We've got a little bit of a Super Bowl 49 preview to get you ready for the big game on Sunday. We want to have you ready. You know, you heard earlier, you heard the interview with Marshawn Lynch. You know, we've got more for you. We're going to get you a preview to have you ready. Ready not just for the game, but ready for your Super Bowl party. You'll be able to talk at the Super Bowl amongst your friends. You'll be able to impress with your knowledge, you know, all those things. Of course, the big story, it's kind of starting to taper down a little bit, but the big story is, of course, Deflategate and all the different, you know, storylines on that. And it seems like there's a few different groups on this. There's like four different groups. The first group is like, hey, they cheated. The Patriots cheated. There's no question they cheated. This is not the first time they cheated. We ought to throw them out of the league and just burn Foxborough to the ground. Okay, I get it. I understand. You're frustrated. You have the next group that's like, they probably cheated. It's not a huge deal, but it's just another example where, you know, Bill Belichick doesn't really care about the rules. He will do whatever it takes to win. It doesn't matter. You have the next group is kind of like, they didn't cheat and they never have. And everybody is just making this stuff up. They hate Belichick and they're just making this stuff up and they never have cheated. Forget Spygate and the draft pick and the fines. Forget that. They never cheated and they never have. And then you have the last group. And the group that I think Bostonians and Patriot fans are kind of taking. And their angle on it is just kind of, yeah, we cheated. So what? We don't care. As long as we win, I don't care. So what if we cheated? They just totally accept it and are fine with it. You know, we can disagree on a lot of things. And I don't know where I fall. I think I fall kind of in between 3 and 4. I think they cheated. I do think there's a pattern there. I don't think it's a huge deal. I just think it's another example where Belichick does whatever he wants. But here's the one thing that we can agree on. Whether you like it or not, whether you're a Patriots fan or not, I think the one thing we can agree on is that no matter how this ends, no matter what happens in the Super Bowl, no matter if they win or lose on Sunday, unfortunately, because this is a team that has a ton of talent on it. This is a team that has some all-time greats on it. No matter what happens, this team will always have cheating connected with them. That's always going to be a part of that legacy. You won't be able to bring up the New England Patriots without it at least crossing your mind. They're not going to be able to say, hey, remember Belichick and Brady and those Patriots? Well, yeah, but they cheated. And there's nothing you can say. Yeah, it's going to be part of this. Now, There are some of those, like I said, who are firmly are denying that there was any cheating, that any wrongdoing went on. It was just the Patriots minding their own business, and the NFL came in and started picking on them. Here is my challenge to you. Did you see the Brady press conference last week? And that, to me, was just it felt painful. It was embarrassing. Brady was kind of just left to squirm up there. But the question came out to Tom Brady, are you a cheater? And his answer just kind of astounded me. His answer was, I don't think I am. Now, if you are of the opinion that Brady doesn't have anything, the Patriots have never cheated, they don't do anything wrong, here is my challenge to you, Patriot fan, Brady fan, Belichick fan. What I would like you to do is I would like you to go out for a night on the town with your friends. And when you come home and your significant other says to you, did you do anything bad tonight? Did you cheat on me tonight? I would like you to say, I don't think I did. And then I just want you to let me know how that goes. Because I don't think it's going to go well for you. Maybe I'm mistaken on that, but I feel like might not go well. Hopefully, you'll get to sleep on the couch and not out in the yard. Just something to think about. Here's another angle that I do want to look at. Something to think about. And I'm not saying this is for sure the end all be all, but just something to think about. I was looking back at the New England Patriots statistically, and there's one major change that I see this season in that team, because we've been looking this whole time, well, they want a softer ball. Brady likes it a little bit softer. He can grip it a little bit better, makes it a little bit easier for him to throw it around. But what if it's not about Brady? What if it's about all the fumbles? Because if you look at the stats this year, all told, the New England Patriots have 5 fumbles. 5. Last year, they had 12. The year before, they had 11. Now, maybe that's just a coincidence. Maybe that's just a coincidence. Maybe that's just a wacky, well, they just got it together and Belichick sure coached them up. Maybe. Or maybe the ball's a little softer this year and they could just squeeze a little better. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Don't get mad at me. I'm just the messenger. Just an idea. Did you see Tom Brady's dad saying that it's going to end badly for Tom with New England? Now, here's something else to think about. You know, Brady did just redo that contract and did free up a bunch of money for that team. We know Belichick doesn't mind getting rid of players when he feels that they have, you know, kind of served his needs and he can then discard them. Any chance Brady's days, this might be his last game on Sunday in New England? Stranger things have happened. I don't think that's the case. Any chance that the Patriots ownership decides, you know, maybe we've had enough of Belichick? Again, I wouldn't think Robert Kraft would do that. I wouldn't think he'd be sick of winning, because remember, they didn't win much until they got Belichick. But it's something that kind of crosses your mind. I wonder if we are seeing, in some way, on Sunday, in Super Bowl, are we seeing some way the end of this era? I don't know. I don't know. Hey, we're going to give you our Super Bowl preview right now. Let's get into the Super Bowl preview and break this down so that, and the thing is, I'm not just going to give you, here's what's going to happen, and I'm going to break this down for you. We're going to get this to where when you go into the game, you're going to have a good idea of how this game's going to play out. Patriots, obviously, high-powered offense. You've got Brady. He's got more weapons than he has had recently. He's got Blunt. He's got Gronkowski. He's got Edelman. He's got Amendola. Seattle, obviously, they've got the physical defense. They're going to come up with their corners. They're going to press. They're going to jam your receivers. They're going to play physical with you. A lot of those things are in play. What we get out of Seattle's offense, I think, is going to be the determining factor. I wouldn't think Russell Wilson would have another horrible week like he did against Green Bay, 4 interceptions and completely irrelevant until the last 2 minutes. I wouldn't think that's going to happen, but you never know. And so because, you know, statistically, when I, you know what, I'm not going to break it down like that. I'm not going to break down the Super Bowl like that. Let's get to the stuff we really care about. Let's break this down the way it should be done. I'm not going to give you the stats, and that's boring. That's not how we do it here on the Daily Dose. We're going to break down the Super Bowl the way that it should be done. I'm going to give you some insight that you expect when you come to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Let's look at the two cities for starters. Let's look at Seattle and let's look at, you know, the Boston, New England area, because I think that's going to tell us a lot and that's going to give us a little bit. You know, Seattle, it's a beautiful city. The Emerald City, it's green. You've got water. You've got the inlets. You've just got bridges. It is a gorgeous, beautiful city. Weather, not great. You get about 3 months out of the year that the weather is outstanding. Other than that, it's a little bit tough. But it is a beautiful, gorgeous city. And Boston, actually, it is really pretty in its own right. I mean, it's got the water. It's got the bridges. It's beautiful, too. But with Boston, you also have that undercurrent of racism that runs through Bostonians. And so you get the beautiful water and the bridges and the green, but you also get a few, you know, racial, you know, terms thrown in there, because that's just how Boston fans are. And that's just how Boston people are. So for that, we are going to mark that up to Seattle. They get the advantage on cities. It is 7-0 Seattle to start off. Let's look at the celebrities that are from these two cities. You've got America's couple, one of America's leading Hollywood couples that come out of Boston with Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Over on the Seattle side, you've got John Ratzenberger from Cheers fame. Remember, he was Cliff on Cheers. You know, probably advantage Boston. Also coming from Boston, you might not know this, Steve Carell. You know, Steve Carell, actor on The Office. Over on the Seattle side, Rainn Wilson. Who would you rather have, Michael Scott or Dwight Schrute? I got to give a slight advantage on the celebrity side to Boston. It is now 7-3 Seattle. Let's move on to movies that were based in Boston. You know, Boston has kind of these rough movies. They've kind of got, you know, kind of the hard edge to the movies that come out of Boston. You've got The Fighter. You've got The Departed. You've got like Boondock Saints. Seattle, you've got Sleepless in Seattle. Yeah. I mean, you've got Say Anything. You know, with the dude holding the boombox over his head. Ugh. That's a touchdown for the Patriots. It's not even close. You're lucky I don't give them two touchdowns for the movie side. It is 10-7 Patriots now. 10-7 Patriots. Let's look at the fans of either team, because sometimes the fans will give you a kind of an insight as to how this game is going to go. Up at Boston, and I don't know what it is about Boston, because it doesn't matter if it's the Bruins, if it's Boston College, if it's the Celtics, Boston fans are loud and obnoxious. That's how they are. They're just loud in general, but they are a loud, obnoxious group. Over on the Seattle side, they've got their 12th man. They are also loud if you put them in an acoustic stadium that, you know, makes everything ricochet off each other. You've also got a very more of a snobby group up at Seattle. Little, you know, pretty pasty up there. They don't get a lot of sun. We're going to call that a draw. Let's leave that at 10-7. Still 10-7 in favor of the Patriots. Let's move on to the mascot. Mascots for each team. You know, Pat the Patriot, not my favorite mascot. I'm going to be honest with you. Pat the Patriot these days, at least the modern day, just kind of looks like Flying Elvis. He's got the big chin. But if you go back to the older Pat the Patriot, snapping the ball, I never want my mascot, my logo, to be in that compromising position that Pat the Patriot's in. Doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for the Patriots. Over on the other side, though, you have, I believe it's Tama the Hawk. Let's get this on the table. There's no such thing as a Seahawk. You're the Seattle Ospreys. A Seahawk is a fake thing. You just made it up. Gotta be, I have to say, a slight advantage for the Patriots on mascots. I'm going to make it 13-7 in favor of the Patriots. Now, food. Food is a big thing. Food is a big thing for me. Let's look at the food that both of these teams have in their respective cities. In Boston, you've got the clam chowder. You've got the lobster. And you have to say it like that because that's how they talk up there. Now, in Seattle, at least they don't say it like that. But some of the similar food, salmon, seafood, it's kind of the same thing. Here's my problem, and this is me personally, and those who know me, you know this is true. I'm not a huge fan of seafood. I'm just not. Seafood is not personally my thing. I'm okay with some of it. The problem that I have with seafood, though, like my favorite food, give me a steak, give me pizza, give me Mexican food, because when I'm tasting a steak or pizza or whatever, it tastes like that. That's what it tastes like. But when you're eating seafood, I don't want something that tastes like fish. In fact, we try to get it to not say like fish. We say, here, try this fish. It doesn't taste like fish. That's what we say. Try this fish. It tastes like lemon, or it tastes like butter. If you like lobster, you don't really like lobster. You like butter. Just eat butter. It's the same thing. Salmon tastes horrible. But the accent thing for me with the chowder and the lobster, I've got to give a slight advantage to Seattle on this. It is 13-10 Patriots, and it is getting tight. It is a tight game. Let's look at music that has come out of these cities. Music. You would think this is a runaway. You think this is a gimme. But it's not quite as easy as you would think. Let's look at Seattle first. You've got Pearl Jam, you got Soundgarden, you got, you know, all those grunge bands that came out in the early 90s. But they also have Kenny G, got Macklemore. It's not looking good. It's not looking good. Especially when you go over to Boston and you say, dude, they have Aerosmith, they have Belle Biv DeVoe. But slow down. Easy. Because you know what else they have? They've got John Mayer, and they've got New Kids on the Block. So it's not as big of a beating as you would think. I'm going to give them a field goal. I'm going to make it 16-10 in favor of the Patriots. New Kids on the Block really hurt you, Boston. I got to tell you, that hurt you. TV shows, Cheers, of course, out of Boston. Frasier coming out of Seattle, that's not even close. That is 23-10 in favor of the Patriots. Let's look at the food chains that come out of these two cities, because both of these cities actually have a food chain. You might not know about it, but they both have a food chain that came out of their city. Boston, you've got Boston Market. You've got Boston Market. Now, if you don't know what Boston Market is, and Boston Market kind of got big for a while, it kind of went back down. Do you remember when you were younger and like your mom didn't have time to make you dinner or something? She would get you one of those Swanson's like Hungry Man meals. That's what Boston Garden made, except for that they charged you a lot more for it. But you would go in, you would get like a bad piece of chicken and some mixed like carrots and green beans and corn. And then you would, I think you even got that horrible burnt lava hot brownie that came in the middle of the meal. That's what you got at Boston Market. That you can still get that today at Boston Market. Not great. TV dinner food right there. Seattle, you've got Starbucks. Now, I'm not a big Starbucks guy. I like coffee. I'm just not a big Starbucks guy. But I'll tell you some of the reason why I don't like Starbucks. It's because these people that make the coffee, for one thing, they're a little bit snobby. For considering what you do is make coffee, you're way too snobby for what your job is. But the problem I have with Starbucks is they can't get my name right ever. So I go up, and I don't order all the cute, fancy latte, grande, cappuccino. I just give me some coffee. Just, I don't know, whatever size, like medium, whatever your medium, just give me coffee. They mess my name up every time. So they'll say, okay, and what was your name? And I'll say Clint. And they'll say Cliff, and I'll say Clint. And they'll say Mike, and I'll say Clint. And they'll say Frank. Are you being serious with me right now? Are you just messing with me? I'm gonna give the advantage to Seattle on this one, just because I don't think Boston Market food is very good. At least the Starbucks product is decent. They just annoy me when they make it to me and they call me the wrong name like 10 times in a row. We have a score right now. Patriots 23, Seahawks 17. Last area to look at. Cheating. Which one of these teams cheats the best? Cheats the best. You've got over with Boston, with the New England side, you've got Spygate. Remember, the league actually sent out a memo. Stop filming the other team's coaches' signals. You can't do it anymore. You can film the game. You can film positional groups, but you can't film the other team's coaches. He signals into his team. Patriots kept doing it. They found the tape. they fined them $750,000 and they took away a draft pick that year. And now you have whatever the situation was with deflating the footballs. Over on the other side with Seattle, they're no innocent either. Let's not forget that they have gotten popped for using banned substances over there. And it's not, I mean, Winston Guy, John Moffitt, Richard Sherman, Brandon Browner. It's not like guys you've never heard of. But I'm going to give a slight advantage to the Seahawks. Because for all the cheating they've done, we're not talking about it. And for all the cheating they've done, they haven't lost a draft pick. And they didn't get fined $750K. So advantage Seahawks. Final score, Super Bowl 49. Patriots 23, Seattle 20. There you have it. There you have it. There is your Super Bowl preview. We get you ready like no other here at the Daily Dose. Hey, Daily Dose, you know, I was thinking about what we should do for our top five this week. And I was thinking about, doesn't it seem like the nation right now kind of hates the Patriots? Like, we're angry at the Patriots. We want the Patriots to lose. And here's all the proof that you need. When they are issuing some of these polls, and I saw a poll last night on the big sports channel, the nation is cheering right now at about 65% for the Seahawks and about 35% for the Patriots. Here's the thing to keep in mind with that: this nation hates the Seahawks. We can't stand the Seahawks. Their defense can't make a tackle without standing over and taunting someone. If the Packers hadn't choked and given that game away 2 weeks ago, we would be cheering for the Packers like no other. It would be like 95% all cheering for the Packers. The fact that it's even 65% tells you how bad we hate the Patriots. And I started thinking about, what are the most hated teams, you know, in recent memory? Like, I was trying to think of teams that we've just hated, not just a player, because it's easy to hate a player. Like, you look this last year with college football. And Jameis Winston. We hated Jameis Winston. But I don't know if we hated Florida State that much. We wanted to see them lose. But could you even name another player on that team? Probably not. So there are certain players we hate. But like cheering against a team where we just want to see a team fail. Let's count down the top five most hated teams this week on the Daily Dose Top 5. At number five, the 1976 Oakland Raiders. They were dirty. They cheated. If you remember, Pittsburgh Steelers head coach Chuck Knoll even said there was a criminal element to this team. And you know, they went on to win the Super Bowl that year. But if you remember some of the players on that team, you had Kenny Stabler, who just always magically found a way to fumble the ball forward and somehow get over on the NFL. You had Ted Hendricks, whose nickname was Kick Him in the Head Ted. You had Jack Tatum, who it was very publicized that when he tried to tackle wide receivers, he would try to get his bicep and forearm around their neck and flex so that he could pop their helmets off. The Oakland Raiders were a filthy team, and at the top of it all, you had Al Davis laughing and just leading the show from on high. The Oakland Raiders are top five, number five most hated team. Number four on our list, actually pretty recently, the 2011 Miami Heat. LeBron, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade. Remember they had the press conference that was just so painful, and they were talking about 6, 7, 8, how many championships are we going to win? 2. You're going to win 2. And you're kind of going to be obnoxious the whole time that you do it. That was the beginning of our hate relationship with the Miami Heat. And then suddenly, the Miami Heat had all these fans jump on the bandwagon. We've been Heat fans for years. Yeah, you haven't. So Miami Heat nailed down our number four position on most hated teams. Number three, the 1988 Detroit Pistons. Everybody hated this team. Unless you were from Detroit, you hated this team. Bill Laimbeer, Rick Mahorn, John Sally, Dennis Rodman, even Isaiah Thomas could play dirty when he wanted to. And they had the Jordan rules. And the thing about the Detroit Pistons, they were dirty, they were physical. They changed the way the NBA was being played at that time. It was fast, it was upbeat, you had showtime, and you had, you know, these teams getting them down. The Pistons changed that. And the coach that they had, Chuck Daly, he put in a different system than what it had been. Very, very different from what we were used to seeing in the NBA at that time. So our number three most hated team, the 1988 Detroit Pistons. Number two on our most hated team of all time, the 1991 Duke Blue Devils. Christian Laettner, Bobby Hurley, and Mike Krzyzewski. Keep this in mind. When Christian Laettner hit that shot against Kentucky, he should have already been ejected for stomping on Timberlake in that Kentucky game. The Duke Blue Devils were everything that we couldn't stand. They were arrogant, they were pretty boy, and above all else, they won, and they kept winning. And for as pretty as they were pretty good. But we hated the Duke Blue Devils. I still remember, you know, when they beat UNLV, when they beat Kentucky, it wasn't even that you were cheering maybe for Kentucky. You were just cheering against Duke because we couldn't stand them. They were so obnoxious. They were the rich kids. You had the Cameron crazies and how obnoxious their fan base was. No one had ever heard of Duke when you were young, yet somehow everyone was suddenly a Duke fan. The Duke Blue Devils definitely were one of the most hated team of all time. We are down to our number one most hated team of all time. It's tough. I mean, there's a lot of teams out there that when you stop and think about, man, I couldn't stand that team. You know, what about the 93-94 Knicks? What about the Patriots right now? What about the 2007 Patriots? A lot of teams that you could hate. But this one, we really didn't like this team. The 1986 Miami Hurricanes. You had Jimmy Johnson. You had Jerome Brown. You had Vinny Testaverde, Alonzo Highsmith, Melvin Bratton. This was a cocky team. They would talk trash. They were taunting. They would, you know, taunt your crowd. They would taunt your players, constantly running their mouths. If you remember that year in 86, they showed up for the Fiesta Bowl in, you know, battle fatigues. They were going to come out and do and wage war against Penn State. They were soldiers. And then Penn State beat them in the Fiesta Bowl. But still, the Miami Hurricanes have to be the most hated team of all time when you just looked at the way they carried themselves. And one thing I'll say about all these teams, one thing that all these teams have in common, and the same thing with the Patriots that we have right now, yes, and even the Seahawks, yes, they are hated. They're all very, very good team. That makes them so much easier to hate. Hey, like I said before, if you want to download the podcast, go on, give us a review. Go on to iTunes, go on to Podomatic, go on to podcastdirectory.com. Give us a review. Give us that high rating. Give us a nice comment. Tell someone, tell a friend about it. Hey, you got to check out this podcast. Would appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we will have a Super Bowl recap. We will be jumping in more and more to the NBA and to college hoops as it gets going. And we'll even start talking a little bit about the NHL. There's an NHL story coming out about here in Colorado that I do want to get out there. And as usual, we will have our top five that we do every single week. Thank you all for joining. I really do appreciate it. Thank you, JSP. Could not do this without you. If you would like to reach out to me, you can find me at DailyDose22 on Twitter or on Facebook, cd.daily.dose. Thanks again for joining. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Hope it's a great one. And really, I hope there's some controversy to stir some things up. That would make it even more fun. Hope you enjoyed the Marshawn Lynch interview. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I will see you next week.